Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
It's been said, if you have a little God, then you have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you have little problems. Friend, I don't know what problems you have today, but I know if you belong to God, He's a very big God. Today we're going to understand more about Him on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Perhaps you come to today's program with problems you cannot solve. What circumstances and questions are beyond your control in your life right now? Well, friend, we hope today that a fresh glimpse of God, the nature, the power, the greatness, the goodness of God, will help you see your problems and life's challenges in light of His nature. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program comes to you with Dr. Paul Chappell, the teacher, preacher, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. It's a joy every Monday through Friday to meet with you through this program, and today we're studying and understanding God, a great series of messages that really inspects from God's Word what He says about Himself. And it's our prayer that as you look at the fresh glimpse of Scripture and what God says about Himself, your problems will become smaller in light of His goodness, His power, and His greatness. Today we turn our hearts to the mercy of God. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 11. We're going to find out that God is always a God of a second chance. Here's Paul Chappell.
Sometime before their marriage and before coming to Christ, this particular lady had made the choice to have an abortion. And there, in that particular time of her life, the unborn baby was taken and the life of that child was taken. Having been saved and having realized the consequence of that, there was a tremendous remorse. In fact, there was remorse prior to her salvation concerning that situation. And what a blessing it was to show her from the Bible the mercy of God, and to help her to realize that God in His grace and mercy is the only one who can meet the need that we have many times of remorse and sorrow in our lives. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." You see, the meaning of mercy, it is the outward expression of pity shown by one who can meet the need. And I'm glad today that God saw my need and He took the lead in meeting it. And He took the lead in meeting your need as well through a merciful act at Calvary. We see the meaning of mercy. But notice secondly this morning, the manifestation of mercy. How is mercy manifested by God? As we understand God and His merciful acts for us, how does God manifest His mercy? Well, first of all, God manifests it to a person in need. He manifests His mercy to a person in need. Sometimes we have to get beyond our own pride to admit that we have a need. I want you to notice, if you would, for a moment, over in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark, chapter 10. And let's see a man who understood his need. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, tells us a story about a man we sometimes call blind Bartimaeus. And I want you to see here how that God manifested His mercy to this person in need. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, mercy is manifested to a person in need. And here we see a man who knew that he had a need, and he cried out for mercy. You know, sometimes because of our pride, we don't even come to the place of saying, "Lord, I have a need. Lord, I've got a problem in my life." But when we get to the place of really being honest with the Lord, then God, seeing that need in His mercy, begins to minister by His grace to us. I heard a story once of a politician that went into a photographer's office, and he went into the studio there and had some pictures taken. A few weeks later, the man called him from the photography studio. He said, "We've got the proofs ready." The politician came in, he saw the proofs, and he was disgusted. He said, Why these pictures don't do me justice at all." To which the photographer said, "Sir, with a face like yours, you don't need justice, you need mercy." And sometimes we just don't realize how much mercy we really need. But when we come to the realization that we have needs in our lives, and when we admit those needs to God, whether it be a need for salvation, whether it be a need for grace or forgiveness, or a need for physical provision, when we admit those needs, God begins to meet them by His grace. So mercy is manifested to a person in need, to the person who says, in essence, "Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I see my need." Notice, secondly, that mercy is manifested through prayer. As I studied the subject of mercy, I noticed that God's mercy was shown many times in the Scripture when there were people who were asking for mercy, when they were calling for God's mercy. Psalm 103 and verse number 11 says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Sometimes we call with a heartfelt call. Sometimes we call with a vocal call to the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Thank God He may not rearrange all of the problems overnight. He may not change the financial situation overnight. He may not do the other miracles we ask Him to do overnight. But instantly He will give the mercy that is needed. Instantly He will meet the need of the heart. And we may obtain mercy, and we may find help and grace to help in a time of need. Maybe you're here today and you've failed in some part of life. You feel like you've just blown the thing entirely. I want you to know something today. God has mercy on you. God still loves you. God has not given up on you today. Maybe you're here today and you've been hurt, and there's something that's taken place, and you feel as though you've been greatly wrong. I want to remind you this morning that God has mercy on you, and He loves you. And when you cry out to Him, when you come to that throne of grace, and you come boldly, and you come with faith believing, the Bible says that there is mercy that will meet you there at Calvary. There is mercy that will meet you there in that time of prayer. And so we see the manifestation of mercy. It is manifested to a person who has a need and who recognizes their need. It is manifested to a person who calls out to God in their time of need and says, "God, I need Your help. I need Your mercy." And we see, thirdly, that mercy will be manifested in the fact that it will bring peace to our lives. God's mercy brings peace into the life of His people. Now notice what it says in Psalm 103 and verse number 10. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. God says, I'm not going to deal with you according to what you deserve. If you'll turn to me, I will deal with you according to mercy. And my friend, when you get a hold of that, it brings a peace that passes all understanding. And when we come to the place when we see we have a need and we humbly cry out to God in that moment of need, then the Word of God declares that He will bring a peace and He will not deliver justice, but He will deliver mercy on our behalf. And thank God for the peace that brings to the soul of someone who turns to God. So we see the meaning of mercy today. God is manifesting pity towards us. God is manifesting grace towards us as the one who can meet the need. We see the manifestation of mercy to anyone who calls out to God in their time of need. But then notice thirdly with me this morning, the mission of mercy. The mission of God's mercy. Now what is God's mission in this hour? What is His mercy mission in this hour? There are many ways He shows His mercy. And I believe God each and every day shows us the greatness of His mercy. But specifically, I believe God's mercy today can be seen in the fact that He wants to save people from their sin. He wants to bring salvation to this world. Now, the Bible says it this way in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, verse 5 says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. By the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to think about this. How can you have God's mercy? God's Word says in Titus 3:5, it's not by our works of righteousness, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us. It's according to God's grace. It's according to God's mercy that we can be saved. You know, sometimes people think that God will save them if they're a real good person. If they'll do just enough good works. If they'll maybe join a church or get baptized or give to the March of Dimes. If they'll promise to be a real good guy, then maybe God will be merciful towards them. But we need to recognize something. Mercy is not something that is given to you because you earned it or because you are justifiably the recipient of it. Mercy is based upon the grace of God. And so God is not telling me that we need to do this long list of things in order to be a candidate for His mercy. God is telling us in Titus 3 and verse 5, it is not according to our works of righteousness which we have done, but it is according to His mercy that He saves us. It is according to His loving kindness that He saves us. Sometimes I talk to people who are so mixed up about God's mercy. And I ask them, do you know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that heaven would be your home someday? And they say, oh yes, I'm a Baptist. Or I'm a Presbyterian. Or they'll name the name of some church. But you know, God says it's not according to the works of righteousness. It's not according to the church membership. It's not according to the things that you have done. It's according to the mercy of God in sending Jesus Christ. The mission of God's mercy is to save us from our sins, and salvation does not come because of what we do, but salvation is a gift because of what God has already done. So we see the mission of God's mercy is to save us from sin, and secondly, it is to give new life. When God saves your soul, He gives to you new life at that very moment. Now in our notes this morning is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. You may want to turn there. Ephesians 2 and verse number 4. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, the chapter starts off with a dark cloud, if you will. The chapter begins by telling us that all of us are born dead spiritually and in the trespasses of sin. Ephesians chapter 2 begins with this picture telling us of the fact that we are in dire straits spiritually. In fact, if you really understand it, Ephesians chapter 2 says that without God, we are as dead men walking. We may be walking around this earth, but we are dead spiritually. But you know, the entire chapter shifts gears in verse 4 when it says, but God. By the way, don't you like that? We are dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Would you take note of that word quickened there? The word quickened means that He brings us to life. Though we were dead in our sins, When we receive the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, we are quickened. We are brought to life spiritually. Thank God He saves us from our sin and He gives us new life through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if any man will be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what it means to be born again. It means that from the inside out, the Holy Spirit of God gives me new life whereby I might serve the living and the true God. The mission of God's mercy is to save us from our sin and to give us new life as we serve Him in this world. And then I want you to see also that the mission of God's mercy is to remove the guilt of sin. To remove the guilt of sin. You know, there are many people who intellectually understand that they have been forgiven, but they have never appropriated that to their heart. You know, I want you to notice with me in Psalm 103 once again. Psalm 103, and let's see a little phrase we kind of skipped over a moment ago, beginning in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. I want to remind you this morning that when God saves you, when God forgives you, your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. There is no way to measure God's love, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. You see, His mercy and His forgiveness are companions today. And a person who is saved from sin receives the forgiveness of those sin, and the guilt of that sin should no longer bind us when we really understand how great God's mercy is. Now we see today God is manifesting His mercy. God has a mission of mercy in saving the souls of men and women. By the way, aren't you glad that those of you that are saved, that He waited for you to be saved? Sometimes I wonder who the last person to be saved will be. The last person before Jesus comes again. Will it be an American? Will it be a Korean? Will it be someone from another country? We don't know. But one day, this God of mercy, who is letting mercy go, will say, I've waited as long as I can wait. And He will call us home. But a merciful God is waiting to forgive you, and He's waiting to give you salvation. Now let me share one story with you, and we'll be done. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, we read about a very special piece of furniture in the Old Testament. God instructed Moses in Exodus 25 to make a very special piece of furniture. He was to cover it with gold, and on each end of that piece of furniture there was an angelic being, or the likeness of an angelic being. This particular piece was to be placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And those of you who know what I'm talking about know that this particular piece of furniture was very special because once a year on the Day of Atonement, a man called the high priest would enter into that tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant rested. On that Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, he would go into that place and there he would sprinkle blood on that piece of furniture, and that blood was a propitiatory sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation of Israel. And that piece of furniture, by the way, is called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. God, in calling the high priest to sprinkle the blood there, said, the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat is a propitiatory sacrifice covering the sins of my people. But you know, at a later day in history, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came as the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came. And you know the story. He was virgin born. He lived a perfectly sinless life. And there, after 33 and one half years of perfection before humanity, for that perfect life, He was hung upon a cross, suspended between heaven and earth. And there, His blood was shed on the cross of Calvary. Thank God, 3 days later, He arose again. Amen? But His blood was shed. And in Romans chapter 3, in verse number 25, the Bible uses a word to describe that act at Calvary. And the Bible says in Romans 3:25 that Jesus is our propitiation. And the word there, propitiation, is a word that is the same word as the word in the Old Testament, mercy seat. And it tells us that Jesus Christ, when He died upon the cross and shed His blood, became our mercy seat. So even as the Old Testament children of Israel had their sins atoned for by the sprinkling of the blood on the Day of Atonement, all of us, Jews and Gentiles, have our sins paid for by the sprinkling of the blood on Calvary's tree. Thank God there is a fountain filled with blood. Thank God that sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. So what does that mean? It means that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, His mercy, the mercy of God, is applied to your account. And forgiveness is yours at that very moment. I wonder if the author of the song we sang a moment ago at Calvary had this doctrine in mind. I wonder when he wrote those words, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary." And then he wrote these words, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied for me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary." Thank God for the mercy seat of Calvary. Thank God for the mercy that has been manifested to this entire world. And if you know someone today who's caught up looking at the injustices and all the unfair things of life, why don't you take a moment this week to point them to the mercy of God, to remind them that there's a merciful God in heaven whose Son is our mercy seat even today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful attribute of your mercy. We thank you for the meaning of it. We thank you for the manifestation of it to this world. So, Lord, help us to take the truth of your mercy and apply it wherever needed.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president of West Coast Baptist College. I do invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. You can hear today's message in its entirety. You can also hear all of the messages from this great, powerful series, Understanding God. You can download them and even subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can find that and many other resources at dailyintheword.org. Now, to wrap up today's program, here's Paul Chappell.
Friend, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, you can listen to radio broadcasts and study the Bible, but until you have that personal relationship with Christ, it really doesn't all come together. I just want to encourage you with this simple thought. God loves you, and Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for your sin. His shed blood and His resurrection make it possible for anyone who will turn to Him to be saved. It's not about trusting in a church. It's not about giving money. It's not about anything we do. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, why don't you take a moment right now and simply say, "Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I turn to you today and trust you to be my Savior. I ask you to make me your child and take me to heaven someday." Friend, if you said that prayer and meant it, then by the grace of God, you have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. And if you have said that prayer, why don't you call us here at Daily in the Word and let us know what God has done in your life today.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Friend, we would love to hear from you this month, and we do have a gift. If you'll take the time to call or write to us, we'd like to send you a token of our appreciation. It's a booklet written by Pastor Chappell entitled Amaze of Grace. If you're going through a difficult time right now, or if you know of somebody who's bearing up under a trial or a burden, this book will help them find God's amazing grace in the maze of their trial. Sometimes it's in life's most confusing, frustrating moments that we see God's hand of grace in miraculous ways in our lives. This little booklet will remind you of this. Again, it's entitled A Maze of Grace, and it's our gift to you when you call or write to us this month. And just let us know that you're listening. The easiest way to do that is to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us tab. I do hope that you'll pray about contributing to our ministry. You can do that on the website as well when you click on Donate. And your investment into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for airtime so that we can continue teaching and preaching the Word of God on stations like this one all across America. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, our mailing address is Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, when we hear from you this month, we're going to send you a copy of Pastor Chappell's book, A Maze of Grace, a great gift for someone who's bearing up under a trial. It will encourage their heart and remind them of God's wonderful grace, even in the mazes of life. A Maze of Grace, this month, our gift to you. Thanks so much for being a part of this ministry, Daily in the Word. Thank you for being a part of today's broadcast. And until next time, have a great day.